Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Amen. Glory be to God. I need this series. I know y'all holy and got halo wings and all that, born holy, but I need this series. Amen. Glory be to God. Because I need to know how I tick. You know, I don't know me that well. And that's one thing about it. The more we get into the word, the more we find out we don't know ourselves.
Amen.
Sin knocked that out. That's probably didn't realize either. That's why the heart is deceitful, tricky, above all, and incurably sick. Your heart will fool you. Your heart will convince you that you're all right. And you'll walk around absolutely convinced that you're all right when you're not all right at all. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Word of God that penetrates deep. Let's go back to our foundation text once again. Let's go back to the foundation text once again. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 12. I want to read this until we just can go to sleep just seeing it in Greek. What about that one? In Greek, Kathy. That's right, Catherine. That's right, in Greek. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. Oh, I'm going too fast. All right. Yes, Hebrews 4:12. This is the foundation text. This is where the title of this sermon, this series of messages comes from. This verse right here. For the word of God is living. King James has quick. That word means that it is alive, constantly in motion. Now, it's hard to keep going past that because we don't see the word of God as that. I mean, we're struggling. We're begging the Lord, help us to see the word of God spiritually, because we're so natural. We're so physical that all we see is ink on pulp. That's what we see. We see markings on some thin pieces of wood called paper. And we see the word of God as just that. But again, let's go with Sunday's teaching too. Our identity is first spiritual. So we need to see things from the spiritual realm first and then on into the natural realm. That's so when the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, speaks to us and says, for the word of God is alive, then that's a spiritual concept. We got to get beyond the natural. You're not going to see this physical, literal Bible start running and moving around the world. But in the spirit realm, it's happening. Why do you know? Because that's how you got saved, that's how I got saved, that's how you got saved, that's how we were saved. Amen. Through the word of God, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Okay. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is? The Bible is the word of God. It's alive. And it's so alive spiritually, and it's so powerful spiritually, that it entered into our spiritually dead spirits, energized us, gave us life, made us alive, and then put us on our way to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot of power in that word. To raise dead spirits. Selah. Pause. Calmly think about that. I've been reading that the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp, and two-edged sword, probably for 50 years, easy. And actually more than that. By the grace of God, I turned 60 on Monday. So I started reading the Bible around 5 years old. And I remember at 5 years old reading the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. I definitely remember that, clear as if it was yesterday. So I've been reading scripture for at least 55 years. I'm going to tell you something, word of life. I don't care how many times you've read scripture, we still hardly know nothing. Amen. Concerning the depth of the scriptures. That's how pregnant it is. It's always giving birth to new revelation. to new understanding, to deeper insight into who God is. That's why the series takes so long. You go to the website, you see number 48 and 29 and all that, because the Lord is saying, we don't have this here. Go back over this. Go back over that. This is not school. I thank God for that. There are no benchmarks that we must meet, right? You got to hit them by this time. And if they're not, they're on you. They're like, teacher, what's wrong, teacher? It's almost like they don't even care that the student is getting it or not getting it. But thank God here, it's like, speak to them until they get it. Because I said in my word, get wisdom, get knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get what? Get understanding. That means going over it and over it and over it and over it. And even then, understanding begins. We just begin to start to get it. That's why you need a teaching ministry. You don't need all of this distraction up here as these pastors are thinking that's the way to go. So let me wear my $5,000 gym shoes because I want to get the young people in. Let me put a band up here instead of a choir. Well, whatever on that. But do a band because the Lord said go get a band. Don't do that with the intent to try to draw. Don't do God's job. And that's the problem. Pastors think they're recruiters. They're not recruiters. No. Pastors are teachers. Pastors are shepherds. We're to watch out for the flock that's already here and not try to recruit more into the flock. It's not our job. And unfortunately, those pastors are ill-prepared to feed the flock. Here we go again spiritually. Because the folks in the seat are spirit beings first. And they must eat of the spiritual food. That's why Christianity Lite, L-I-T-E, is terrible. People aren't getting fed. And so here we take our time. We go over it and go over it and go over it. Because I know how we think. We can't help but think that the word of God is just ink. You know, it's hard. It's just traveling. It's living. It's hard for us to... You know, the pastor has to stop and kind of just land on that. Say, it's alive. It really is alive. But how is it alive? It's alive spiritually. No, you can't perceive its life, its movement, spiritually speaking, per se, except that it's spiritually discerned. But you can see the result of it. Because again, you're here, I'm here, we're here by the word of God and the grace of God. 1 John lets us know we were born again of the incorruptible seed, the word of God. When it says it is alive, it is live. Then the next part of that is quick. The next part of that, Hebrews 4:12, it is powerful, sharper. So it's alive, constantly in motion. It is powerful, active, and energetic. It is so full of energy that it produces resurrection in the spirits of dead people. Tell me what the word of God can't do. That's why I get so exercised when a child has a quote unquote deep problem. Well, we let the pastor handle him, we'll let the pastor handle my little child talking too much in school. We'll bring it to the pastor. But if they're cutting themselves, thinking about suicide, oh, that's going to require, oh, so much more. So we're going to take them to a therapist. You got to get into therapy. And they're like, we don't even care if it's biblical or not. We just, because they charge you $9 million an hour and they got a whole bunch of letters behind their name, we got then they can handle this big problem. First of all, the pastor never was handling any of the problems to begin with. It was the word of God that was handling it through the pastor. Yeah. So when you don't think that the word can no longer handle it, that's what you, well, when you think the pastor can only, you're saying that the word of God cannot handle this problem. This is a little deeper. No, it's the word can handle any problem because the word is God and the word was God. There's nothing too difficult for God to handle. Does that make sense? The word of God is powerful enough for any problem. If it can bring life to your dead spirit and my dead spirit, it can certainly handle somebody thinking about suicide or cutting themselves. Amen. The reason this, unfortunately, this kind of teaching is not going forth, the Word of God is on the decline. The importance of it, the preeminence, its supremacy is on the decline. Which the devil loves that, because then anything else you go to look for to try to fix your problem, he gonna love it. I'm gonna run all that. Drink, smoke, females, males, food, anything else. Oprah, Jerry Springer, Phil, Dr. Feel Good, all that. He like, cool, I have no defense for the word, but anything else you try to do it, I'm gonna handle business. You will not get what you're trying to get. And so we must take our time again and go through this again and remind the saints of God that the Word of God is alive. It is quick. It is living. And it is constantly in motion. And it is active and powerful. It is energized. It is operative. It is effective. It always works. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Every way you swing it, it can excise and cut out stuff that is not like God. Make perfect incisions with the Word of God. How many have things in us that need to be cut out and removed?
Yeah. Amen.
I know I can. Let me put a foot in that too.
Yes, sir.
So thank God we don't know ourselves, but the Word of God, keep reading. It, King James had dividing asunder, meaning that it pierces, or some translations have penetrates. Both of those are more accurate than dividing. It is the fact that it penetrates or it pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit. That's the immortal part of man. Joints and marrow, that's the deepest nature of his humanity. And is able to judge the thoughts. Remember, sift, analyze, determine what is good or bad. Expose our thoughts, which means to ponder and think about, and the intentions, conceptions of our heart. Only the Word of God can analyze and sift through that. Sometimes we don't, a lot of times, we don't know why we think what we're thinking. There are times we don't know why we do what we do. We like things, don't know why we like things. We don't like things, don't know why we don't like things. Why do I do what I do? Who am I? Where am I? Those are good questions to ask, because that's humility. And what you're going to do is stop trusting in you to analyze you and let the Word of God do it.
Amen.
How about bowing down to God and saying, you know what? Lord God, I just recognize I don't know me. I need you to describe me to me. And the more I found out about me as revealed by God, the more I realized how much I didn't know about myself. Which is cool with me, because his interpretation of me is going to be way more accurate than mine. But there must be that revelation, there must be that realization that, hey, I need you to tell me about me. Because I'm quite sure you've had questions in your lifetime as to why do I do that? Why do I feel this way when this happens? Why? Let me tell you what, something happened when you was young, or this what happened, this is what it is, it's pride, it's this, it's that. He'll begin to dig in there. You begin to understand yourself. You become a more better version of yourself. The one closer to the one that God intended for you to be. That's good news. Because then, as I am being worked on, he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. While he's working on us, he is positioning us to bring him maximum praise, glory, and honor through our lives, our lifestyle, our lives, Our thoughts and the life, a lifestyle is made up of three components: your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And I say thoughts first because they govern what you say and what you do. So what you do on a habitual daily basis makes up lifestyle. What you're thinking on a daily basis leads to what you're saying on a daily basis, leads to how you're acting on a daily basis. That's your lifestyle. You get this right, the rest of it is going to be under control. A lot of times with Christians, they aren't being taught right, so they're not getting the right information. They're getting information, but it's not the correct information. That's my biggest problem concerning the prosperity gospel. It is so much on finances and things of this world that when you talk about the next life, we're looking at you crazy. Ain't nobody trying to hear about heaven, dude. I'm trying to get my Cadillac. I'm trying to get me a mansion. I'm trying to get me a promotion in my job. I'm trying to be comfortable. I want to be rich and this, that, and the other. And your whole focus is just down here. The word, when taught properly, we'll get rid of that mindset. We'll begin to undo that mindset to the point you can say with Apostle Paul, I'm ready to get up out of here. But I got to stay here because my Lord, my master, my owner wants me here. Amen. And so not only am I going to be here, I'm going to be here in full effect. Amen. For his glory. Yeah. It's not time for me to get my gain yet. The big payday is not there yet for me yet. And so you love, and you treat people with respect. Treat them with the understanding that they're made in the image and likeness of God. That's a game changer as far as how you treat people. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday, we talked about knowing no one after the flesh. That's a game changer. You see people spiritually, God created them, they're made in his image and in his likeness. Man, color gets out. It's color, culture, all that disappears. And you treat them with respect, with dignity, with worth, because God made that person. Whether they be a homosexual, whether they be a lesbian, whether they be transgender, whether they be young or old, or in your opinion, fat or ugly or pretty, in your opinion, those I say it like that, you bypass all of that by Holy Ghost and you treat them with dignity and you treat them with respect. And you are, you become a bright light in this dark world because this world is out for itself. And we join in because we're out for ourselves. How offensive is that to God? How offensive is that to God? Because he's equipped you. He's equipped me. He's equipped us to stand out, to stand apart from that. I've called you to love. I told you in John 13 that by this the whole world don't know that you're my disciple because you have love one for another. That's your driver's license. That's your form of ID. That's your social security card. Love. So the word of God, we need it to judge the deepest parts of our nature. We needed to sift through it and analyze it, break it down, and show us us. Because it'll get right to the core. Sift all the way through. Bam! There's your problem with this. This is why you have a problem over here. Because it started right here. You find out, man, this is something that happened when I was 4 years old. Something happened when I was 7 years. I didn't even realize it. It makes you tell my wife, you know, that, hey, what happened to you when you were, you know, 8, 9 years old, it does affect you. She just couldn't believe it at first. But the Lord kept sifting. He kept analyzing. She didn't realize, wow, no wonder I'm acting this way now because what happened then. He's a healer. So I want you to understand what has happened to you in your past does affect you. It's not no psychoanalyzing. It's not a psychoanalytical statement per se. It's just, it's a fact. Your past does affect your present. But if you don't let the Lord heal it, it's going to affect your future. Amen. Let it heal. Lord, heal in you. And healing begins with a recognition of the problem. Oh, this is why I snap when I, or this is why when I'm not heard, I feel a certain way. Because I, when I was a kid, I wasn't heard then. And so when somebody like step up over me, I get a certain way. I start doing all kind of things that ain't godly. And I thought, oh, that's why I need to tap that down. Because the Lord hears me. Because the Lord says his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. He's always listening. Oh, I never thought of that. Begin to think more biblically about yourself rather than naturally about yourself. How you view yourself begins to change in a mighty way. Because you begin to stop seeing yourself as the world sees you, and you begin to start seeing yourself through the eyes of God. Amen. In particular, through the eyes of his word. Well, that comes with this root verse right here. This is the root. The word of God sifts through, analyzes, judges your thoughts. That's who you are. And when it mentions dividing the center of the joints and marrow, that's the deepest part. That's symbolic for the deepest part of our nature, where no man could ever know. But God, not even you, to know you in your deepest part. But God does. And he's so merciful that he reveals that to us. Like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Can you close that door? We got a little chill. Yeah, thank you, sis. So it's the word of God that reveals the true nature of our thoughts. I want myself revealed to me. Amen. When I'm thinking a certain way, why am I thinking this, Lord? Show me. Because I'm going to always put icing on everything, over everything. We just sweet it up, make it nice and pretty. Put a little, whatever you squeeze them things out, put a little all on the cake. On with them things, it's called. Little crowns and bubbles and blooms and, you know what I'm talking about. Bowls and whatever them cake maker be doing to a cake, you know, just make it look real pretty. That's what we'll do. We dress ourselves up quickly. Ain't no wrong with me. I'm good. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. In a heartbeat. Or put it in a present, you know, Christmas. We'll wrap a bow and some paper on that. Beautiful. Here we go. We look wonderful. But in the eyes of God, it smells. Remember, he told the Jews, the Pharisees, outwardly, beautiful whitewashed tombs, gorgeous, but inside full of dead men's bones. When you start thinking you're all right, get nervous. Let me say that again. When you start thinking I'm all right, get nervous. I'm not saying reject it per se, but get nervous. Check with the Holy Spirit living on inside. Am I really all right or am I being fooled here? And he'll counsel you. Nah, you're half all right. You're doing better in this area. But, contrasting conjunction, over here you still went crazy. So this afternoon, but this morning you went south. But in the past, it would have been a bad morning and a bad afternoon. So now we're getting halfway there. And that's how he walked. Thank God for his mercy. He walks us through like that. Because if he showed us all at once what's wrong with us, we would probably commit suicide anyway. I'm that terrible? Oh, Lord. But he's gracious and he's merciful. He showed us a little bit at a time. That's why even if we began to accomplish success or begin to experience success in one area, just realize that's just one part of a room that in a house that has 20 rooms. Think of it that way. That way it keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. It keeps you needy on the Lord. The prayer again is, help me to be continually conscious of my own shortcomings, my own feebleness, which is shortcomings, limitations, and weaknesses. Help me to distrust my own powers, which is might, abilities, and strength. And help me to always, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength. Keep praying that prayer. Pray that prayer over yourself. To be continually conscious of your own feebleness. We are feeble in the grand scheme of things. We are limited. We have shortcomings. We're weak. But rejoice in it. My sponsor, I'll embrace that. Because in my weakness, the power of Christ is perfected. But you must realize, I must realize, we must realize, we are weak. We are feeble. We are limited. And when we recognize and acknowledge that, hey, the power of Christ is perfected. Wonder, how are you doing what you're doing? How do you hug your brothers when your husband died? How in the world do you do that? How do you have the strength to hold of your big hulking brothers? My mother's brothers crying all up on her, and it was her husband who died. You can't explain that naturally. That's the power of Christ resting on her.
Man.
Her all, you know, mother about 5'3" and a half, 5'4". Her brothers, one of them 6 feet, 6'1". They just, you know, about to bend her back down, you know. But she just holding them up.
Thank you, Lord.
Because that's what he does.
Amen.
Help me to be continually conscious of my own feebleness. Weaknesses, shortcomings, and limitations. Help me to be continually conscious of that. That'll keep us humble. Even in success and times of prosperity, you'll still remember, but it wasn't me who did this. Help me to distrust my own powers, might, ability, and strength. And in doing that, that's going to cause me to always, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength. For you are my helper. And I won't have no fear. I won't fear. My brother, he's a cancer survivor by the grace of God, my oldest brother. And the Lord, I believe, has given him a ministry to cancer victims and cancer support groups. And he goes to speak to them. He doesn't plan. He told mother this the day, this afternoon. He said, "I don't plan to what I'm going to say. The Lord will tell me, because each group is different. Each person is different."
Amen.
And he confidently says, and that's a difficult platform. You got to be anointed by God to go talk to some cancer folks. That's a tough platform, but not for God. And him relying on God. That's just that's being conscious of your own feet. That ain't, but I can't do this. Every time I'm called into the ICU, man, I can't. Are you serious? I don't know what I'm gonna say. I never know. Or when I'm called to go to a house and somebody just died, man, that's a, you want to, and in the natural, for real, I want to be anywhere in the world but there. I'm not trying to be in nobody's house, and their emotions are super raw because they just found out their loved one just died. You're not trying to go up in there. But God is. Did you hear that? God is. Yeah. We're not living our lives for us. To live is Christ.
Amen.
Christ Jesus, the Master, wants you in that house at that time. Why? So you can do, no. So he can. Are we starting to get this? It's not about you. It's not about me. Jesus wants you there. So he can do. Because that's how he operates. That's how he set it up to work through his people. We are his body here on the earth. But you'll trip out and talk yourself out of it because you are not trusting in his powers, might, ability, and strength. You're not looking to him. Now, there's two parts of that prayer. You're conscious of your own feebleness, but you've let that being, that you're being conscious of your own feebleness, weaknesses, and shortcomings talk you out of being obedient. And that's not what it's designed to do. The whole prayer, you have to do the whole prayer. At the end of that prayer, it says, to all look to you. So that's why you go anyway. You go afraid. Go shaking in your boots. Go crying. But go. so God can show off. Amen. We talked about our two selves, or two lives, or two personas, two identity, two characters, being two-faced. One is our false, deceived self, and the other is a real, true self. It takes the word of God to identify when we're living our false self. A false self is an outer self that is not in line with our true inward nature. By way of review, we're talking Romans 12:2 again, where it says, be not conformed to this world. Conform means do not take outwardly, do not take the shape outwardly of the ways of this world. So, as we drew here, so you have the stick man again. So inside is the real you. All right, we went over that. This is spirit being, this real you, S-P-I-R-I-T. And this is our body, or the outer self. Well, outwardly, we're looking just like the world, but it's not a reflection of who we are inside. And so, since that's the case, since the inward, who is our true self, our real self, the part that the Lord talks to, the part that is spiritual, is not being reflected in our outer selves, then this becomes then a false life. That's surface level living. And Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is chastising the church at Rome and telling them to stop being conformed to the world. Stop looking like the world outwardly. Stop it. In the Greek, that's what that is. Stop doing that. You can crack that again. I'm sorry, Ms. Eric. Stop doing that. Stop outwardly looking like the world. And we talked about the reasons for doing that. Because we don't want to look awkward and look weird and strange. And we don't want to be ostracized or talked about or lose a job or lose friendships. I'm here to tell you, man, forget all that. Don't sacrifice God's glory for your comfort. Look weird. You've heard this before, but hear it again and again and again, because every day we gotta go out and live this. Every day you're gonna go to work tomorrow, and then you're gonna be challenged with this every single day. Conversations come up, people are saying things. We need to be ready to obey this. He said, another, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your thoughts, renewing of your thoughts, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Stop acting outwardly looking like the world, but instead, I think we went over this. Yeah, stop masquerading. Remember we talked about that? Because when we outwardly look like the world, we're putting on a mask. It's a masquerade. And we talked about that this masquerade is like a costume that you're dressing up in. It's not really you. And when we do that, as one commentator says, it hides the Lord Jesus living in our hearts. And it is an opaque covering through which the Holy Spirit cannot radiate the beauty of the Lord Jesus, because you've covered him up in a false living, false surface level living. Living that's not really reflective of who you are inside. I went over all the false self, you know, he deceives himself. We went over the word deceived again, 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age. Did we go over those verses again last week? I don't think we did. Let's turn over. Let's look at some scriptures of our false self in scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians. This is still review. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The false self is deceived. I think we read Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow the masses.
in doing evil. Don't just follow the crowd.
30.
Wow. 1 Corinthians 3:18. That is amazing. That was 35 minutes. That is amazing. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. So is it possible to deceive yourself? If he says, let no man deceive himself, then it must be possible to deceive yourself. Yes, it is. If any among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. Realize, I don't know nothing. Why? Because worldly knowledge is nothing compared to spiritual knowledge. So what it's saying is, if anyone in it among you thinks that he's wise in this age, in other words, with natural worldly knowledge, you got PhD, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P after your name. You're wise in this age, but you must realize you know nothing spiritually. So realize, I'm a fool. Then real wisdom will take place. Because the word of God makes the simple wise. But if you think you're wise and of this age, he said you deceive yourself. Deceive, that word deceive means to attract, to entice, to win over. So your believing that will attract, to entice, and win you over away from the truth. You're deceived. Look at two more and we'll stop. If anyone, Galatians 6:3. Can't believe how quick that time went. Wow. Galatians 6:3. For if anyone thinks he is something, see, there's a confusion. Remember, the reason we need the word of God to truly analyze and sift through who we really are, because we'll get to thinking all kind of stuff. First Corinthians said, if anyone of you thinks that he is wise, here, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That word means he is misleading his mind, a mind misleader. You're misleading your mind. You're leading it all right, but you're leading it to the wrong place. So you're misleading it. So if you think you're something when you're nothing, you're deceiving yourself. You're misleading your mind. Look at James 1:22. Then after this one more. James 1:22. Oh, by the way, just again, the false self, this outward living, which is false, is a deceived self. Because you're thinking, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You're thinking outwardly, I'm okay. It's okay to live looking like the world. And your heart, which is deceitful above all, can not only inform you that you're okay, you can be convinced that you're okay. James 1:22. That's right. See if y'all are listening. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Meaning if you just hear the word of God and you don't do it and think that's okay, you're delusional. Which means to misreckon or to reckon wrongly. Or that would mean to work out, in mathematically speaking, it means to work out a problem and come to the wrong answer. That's what misreckon means. Do all that math and come down here and the answer is wrong. When you think that you can just hear the word and not do it and you're okay, you've misreckoned. You've come to the wrong conclusion. Because Jesus said, that person is not wise. Then he goes so far as to say how wise they are or how wise they are not. They are likened to a person
who builds their house on sand. You know that's not wise. That's a shifting foundation that's going to eventually fall and the whole thing going to crumble down. That's how unwise it is to hear and not do the word of God. Then the last one, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, and we're through. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. And notice in these things, if you think this or you believe that, you're misreckoned, you're wrong, you're deceiving yourself because of what you're thinking, how you are seeing you. You seeing that? 1 John 1, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There you go. You think you're okay. I'm saying I have fellowship with him. I have fellowship with him. I go to church. I read the Bible. Have we not heard that for years and years and years? I go to church. I read the Bible. I'm good. So if you say that and yet walk in darkness, darkness is symbolic of absence of truth. Not just light, bless you. Light is symbolic of truth. You're walking in darkness. You're walking in an absence of truth. And then it says here, we lie and do not practice the truth. Why? Because you don't have the truth. You're not in truth. You don't have fellowship with Christ Jesus and you're living a lie. You can't do that. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, in truth, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from half of our sins. Oh. All of them except suicide. Oh. Well, all is all. All is all. Mm-hmm. If we say, verse 7, if we walk, verse 8, if we say, this is what we're, in other words, if we say, we're thinking, this is how we're reckoning. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. There it is again. And the truth is not in us. That word deceive there means to roam from safety. In this case, the truth, because the truth is safe. It means to roam from the truth. We are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from half of our all unrighteousness. The false self is self-deceived. You've misreckoned. You're saying, I walk in fellowship with him, but you're walking in darkness. That's the false self. That's the person who outwardly looking like the world, but think that they're okay. The false self is the deceived self. And if it's the Lord's will, next week, we'll pick up with the real true self. Father God, we thank you for your word. We need your word. We don't need opinions. We don't need theories. We don't need philosophies. We don't need to hear arguments. We need your word and your word alone. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Your word is. It is your word that we're treasuring and storing up in our hearts in abundance, as Colossians, I think, 3 says. Why? That we may not sin against you. That's the key. And if we don't sin against you, then guess what? We get to bring you glory. Amen. Which is what this is all about. Our whole existence is to bring you glory. Psalm 119. How can a young man or young woman or child of God keep their way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Not bands, not theories, not puppet shows, not Stardust, a Starburst, whatever the name of that doggone thing is. Not lattes and bagels and comfort and just feeling good. We keep our way
according to your word. That's how we keep our way pure. That's how we sin not against you. Thank you, Father, for your word being preached here at Word of Life. We are forever grateful. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.